الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Love for this world. Attar's prayer. O Allah Almighty, whoever reads or listens to the 22-page booklet, Love for the World, do not make them dependent on anyone besides you. Remove love for this world from their hearts. Make them a true devotee of your messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and forgive them without accountability. Ameen bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. An excellent litany for blessings in sustenance. A man once mentioned his poverty and destitution to the final prophet of Allah, our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The greatest prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, give salam when you enter the home, regardless if anybody is inside or not. Then present your salam to myself and recite al-ikhlas once. By doing this, Allah Almighty open the doors of sustenance for this person, allowing him to even benefit his neighbors and family. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. The world in disguise. The Tabi, Humayd bin Hilal rahmatullahi alayhi, narrates how Ala bin Ziyad rahmatullahi alayhi said, once in my dream, I saw people chasing after something. I too engaged in pursuit of it. When I finally saw what it was, I discovered it was an old woman hunched over with broken teeth. She wore various forms of jewelry and luxurious clothing. Who are you? I asked. I am the world, she replied. I then said, I ask Allah Almighty to place hatred for you in my heart. She exclaimed, if you hate wealth, you will naturally develop hatred for me. Dunya ko tu kya jane ye bis ki gaant hai harafa. Surat dekho zalim ki to kaisi boli bali hai. Shahad dikhaye, zeher pilaye. Qatil, dain, shohar kash. Is murdar pe kya lalchaya, dunya dekhi bali hai. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan's poetry about the world. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi discussed the deception and illusory nature of this world in his poetry. A summary of select couplets are hereby presented. O slaves of Allah Almighty, what do you know of this world? It may appear unassuming, yet it is a bowl of poison. It is cunning and deceptive. Its cruelty is such that it makes venom look like honey, and it kills whoever loves it. This world is polluted and ruined. There is no benefit in attaching one's heart to it, and this is something tried and tested. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. The meaning of dunya. Imam Johari said, the literal meaning of dunya is near. The reason for this is either because it is closer to mankind in contrast to the hereafter, or as it is closer to the heart due to the desires and pleasures it entails. The implications of loving this world. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, an immense sin for which people do not ask Allah Almighty forgiveness for is love for this world. Another blessed hadith mentions, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. Love for the world is the root of every sin. The scholar Abdul Rauf Al-Munawi rahmatullahi alayhi writes in Faiz Al-Qadir, it is proven from experience and observation that love for this world calls towards every open and hidden sin, especially those centered around worldly matters. Whoever is besotted with this world, loses himself in it, despite them knowing well of its impurity and imperfection. Love for the world first leads to doubtful matters, then to that which is disliked, i.e. makruh, and ultimately to haram. In extreme cases, it can even lead to disbelief. In fact, all people who rejected their prophets, alayhimus salam, disbelieved because of their love for the world. This is the root of every sin, which is why it is said this world is Satan's alcohol. Whoever drinks from it will only sober up at the time of death, whilst feeling remorse and shame. Loving this world is destructive. Love for it will not be exit from the hearts of most people, except for a few. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi said, just as love for this world is the root of every sin, hatred for it is the root of every good. Worldly love and its types. Some elements of the world are associated with disbelief, some with sin, and others with negligence. Conversely, some elements revolve around the very essence of faith. Abu Jahl's world was one of disbelief. The companion Uthman's radiallahu anhu's link to the world was based on the essence of faith. The world of Qarun and Firaun was one of disbelief. Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam's association with the world was purely due to faith. If attachment to this world is rebukable, if it revolves around desires and anything satanic, yet if one's attachment to the world is premised on faith and for the sake of Allah Almighty, it is praiseworthy. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi stated, a worldly life is not spent fulfilling the desires of the nafs, i.e. carnal self. A life spent preparing for the hereafter is not considered worldly, despite the fact one lives in the world itself. A worldly life is one thing, but living in the world is another. Life in this world will end, but a life spent in this world for the hereafter will not finish. Categories of those pursuing this world. Number one, those who pursue the wealth of this world to maintain good ties with relatives and help the poor, they are considered generous. If their actions correlate with their intention, they will gain reward. Despite this, it is said such people lack intelligence, as an intelligent person does not desire something which will change his state to an unknown condition after acquiring it. People who acquire wealth with this intention should learn from the story of Thalaba mentioned below. The story of Thalaba. An individual by the name of Thalaba requested the greatest and final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to pray for him to become wealthy. Having been granted knowledge of the unseen by Allah Almighty, the greatest and final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, O Thalaba, a little wealth you can give thanks for is better than a great amount for which you cannot. Presenting himself before the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam again, Thalaba made the same request. I take oath by he who sent you as a true prophet. If he grants me wealth, I will give everyone their due right. The greatest prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam prayed for him. So Allah Almighty blessed his sheep in so much that the city could not accommodate them all. Thalaba took them with him to the wilderness and left Medina entirely, resulting in him missing out on attending congregational and Jumu'ah Salah. The greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam inquired about him, to which the companions alayhim ridwan replied that his wealth had increased a lot, so much so that even the desert was not large enough to hold it. The greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam expressed his disappointment regarding him. Later, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam sent individuals to collect zakat, people happily paid it. Yet, when Thalaba was approached, he responded by saying this was a tax and he would think about it first. When the individuals came back to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he expressed disappointment at Thalaba twice before they even said anything. The following verse was then revealed. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَئِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ.
Translation from Kanzul Iman. And among them there are some who had made a pledge with Allah. If He grants us from His grace, then we will most certainly give charity, and we will most definitely be among the righteous. So when He granted them from His grace, they were miserly with it, and they withdrew, turning their faces away. Thalaba then eventually arrived with his charity, to which the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, Allah Almighty forbids me from accepting this. Thalaba returned disgraced. His wealth was then brought to the first caliph of Islam, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, during the latter's caliphate. It was again rejected. It was again brought forth during the reign of Islam's second caliph, Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. The result was the same and it was turned away. Thalaba eventually died during the caliphate of Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Number 2. The second type of people chasing this world. The second category of those who pursue this world is further divided into two. Those who pursue the world wishing to fulfill their desires and gratify themselves with worldly pleasures. Such people are perceived as animalistic. Those who pursue the world to show pride before others and stand out due to wealth, such people thought of as absurd, deceitful, and accursed. The fate of those who love this world. Sayyiduna Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said, on the day of judgment, the world will be brought forth as an unsightly old woman with misshapen eyes and whose teeth are protruding forwards. She will be directed towards the people and it will be asked, do you recognize her? They will reply, we seek refuge in Allah Almighty from recognizing her. It will be announced, this is the world you were proud of. Due to it, you severed family ties, became jealous of one another and harbored enmity and arrogance. The world will then be placed in hell and it will say, my Lord, where are those who listen to me? Where is my group? Allah Almighty shall declare, place them alongside it, i.e. the world. Three facets of the world. Number one, the first facet consists of reward. It is by means of this a person attains goodness and protects himself from evil. This is a believer's conveyance, a field to harvest for the hereafter. and halal sustenance that suffices. Number two, the second facet entails accountability. Due to this, one does not lack in fulfilling prescribed duties or do anything impermissible in pursuit of the world. Wealthy people fall under this category. Accountability for them will be of a lengthy duration, and the poor will enter paradise 500 years before them. Number three, the third facet brings about punishment. In this, an individual neglects all necessary duties and involves himself in sin. Whoever this category applies to will find it drawing him closer to hell and leaving him in a state of regret. The meaninglessness of worldly luxuries. The companion Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, "The greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was once in the shade of the Kaaba when I went to him. When his gaze came upon me, I heard him then declare, 'Those are steepest in loss. I take oath by the Lord of the Kaaba.' I proceeded to sit near him as he, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, repeated this many times over. I then stood up and asked, 'O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Who are these people you mention?' The greatest Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, replied, 'They shall be affluent and wealthy individuals, but not including those who spend profusely in noble causes. Their number shall be few. Whoever owns a camel, cow, or sheep and does not pay their zakat, that animal will come forth larger and healthier on the day of judgment and proceed to gore their owner using their horns and trample with their hooves. This will continue until the accountability of people concludes.'" Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Responding to Satan's trickery. Some people are deceived into thinking, regardless of how engaged they are in worldly matters, their heart will not be attached to it. This is Satan's trickery. How is it possible for someone to dive into a river and not become wet? The likeness of this world is like salt water. The more you drink, the thirstier you will feel. Thinking that worldly riches will bring happiness is foolishness. For how can there be happiness in a place you are not going to stay in forever? Avoiding love for the world. Attachment to the world is of two types. The first is haram, as it makes one absorbed in worldly affairs which lead to punishment in the hereafter. The second is halal, although it will act as an obstacle in attaining a high station. This will also lead a person having to face lengthy accountability. An intelligent person acknowledges that having to stand for a long period on the day of judgment is also a form of punishment. In short, whoever is held to account also faces punishment. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, regarding this world, there is accountability for its halal and punishment for its haram. He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam also mentioned punishment upon the halal of the world. Albeit, less is comparison to the punishment for haram. Even without facing accountability, missing out on high ranks of paradise and feeling grief for this lowly temporary world is also punishment. As you are in this world right now, take a moment to reflect on the following. When you see people ahead of you in worldly matters, how much sadness develops in your heart. Despite knowing these are temporary, meaningless, and impure privileges, they have not an atom of purity in them. In contrast, how much sorrow should be felt at missing out on privileges so they cannot be described. Centuries have passed, but these remain standing. To conclude, answering questions on the Day of Judgment entails waiting, humiliation, fear, risk, and difficulty. All these are a cause for loss in the hereafter. Whether one has a little of the world or a lot, be it halal or haram, it is accursed if it does not revolve around piety. This is why Allah Almighty made the Prophets alayhi musallam, saints rahimahumullah, and those after who were close to him face trials of varying degrees. All of this is a form of goodness bestowed upon them so they receive a great share of the hereafter. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Removing love for the world from one's heart, having concern for the hereafter and being conscious of it despite being busy with worldly affairs will remove love for the world from your heart. This is what is termed as genuine piety. It brings a person close to Allah Almighty forever. In worldly matters, always look at those in a worse scenario as opposed to those in better positions. As Satan always tries to make us look at others who are better off. The Amir of Ahlus Sunnah, Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, once said, "Whoever continuously obeys Allah Almighty and His greatest and final Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the world will continuously serve him." An effective way to do away with love for the world. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi explains, "What detaches a person from the world and leads to one distributing their wealth? They are thinking about the trials and imperfections of this world. Remembering the world's benefit is very little and will come to an end very soon, and that those who pursue it are lowly. Acknowledging Allah Almighty has granted you many blessings despite you not having spent in His way according to the amount He granted. Reflecting on these matters thoroughly will make it easy to detach yourself from the world and give out wealth. Also, remember the world is an enemy of Allah Almighty and you love Him. Whoever loves and befriends someone also considers his enemy to be their own. The world is rotten. Do you not see its delicious foods go off and start to smell after a short while? The world is masked by pleasant scent, but it is like carrion. Seeing its outward appearance, the negligent fall for its deception, whilst the intelligent stay away from it." The Tabi'i, Rabi bin Khuthaym rahmatullahi alayhi, said, "Remove love for the world from your hearts and replace it with love for the hereafter." The difference between piety and poverty. If the world detaches itself from a person, this is poverty. Yet, if a person detaches himself from the world, whereby if he receives wealth, he dislikes it and thus he stays away from it, then this known as zuhd. A person with this quality is referred to as a zahid, someone disinterested in the world. The excellence of zuhd. The Blessed Companion, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Look at those below you and not at those above you. This is splendid advice, so you may not lose any of Allah Almighty's blessings." Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, also a companion, once said, "When a person becomes disinterested with this world, his heart is illuminated with wisdom, and his body aids him in worship." Three levels of Zuhud. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi proclaimed, "Zuhud has three levels. One level is obligatory, which is to stay away from that Allah Almighty has declared haram. The second level is of safety, whereby one abstains from anything doubtful. As for the third level, it is for attaining excellence, and this is where one leaves even that which is halal. This is an exceptional level of zuhud." Signs of piety. Number one, not rejoicing over one's assets and not being sad about something you do not have. This indicates piety in matters relating to wealth. Number two, perceiving someone who criticizes you and someone who praises you as equal. This signals piety in relation to rank. Number three, having attachment to Allah Almighty and experiencing the joy of being immersed in obedience to the Creator. Types of Zuhud. An increase in worship and its quality are the byproducts of Zuhud. It is important for the one in pursuit of worship to not have interest in the world. Zuhud itself is of two types. Number one, discretional. This involves not desiring something you do not have, distributing that which you do have, and not pursuing the world and its luxuries. Anyone who has these three qualities is pious. Cultivating the third quality, not pursuing the world and its luxuries, is very difficult. Many people ostensibly seem to have this trait, yet love for this world bites at their hearts, leaving them in a struggle. The greatness of piety stems from this aspect of not pursuing the world. Number two, non-discretional. Piety of this type is based on the heart being void of worldly interest and worldly thoughts. When a person pursues discretional piety by not desiring what he does not have, giving away what he has, and not pursuing worldly luxuries, his heart becomes void of worldly interest. The world appears insignificant to such a person, and worldly matters do not come to mind. This is what non-discretional piety is. Ranks of Zuhud. Number one, where a person shows disinterest in the world, but with difficulty. Despite one's desires, he does away with the world. Such a person is a mutazahid. It is possible that by persevering in this manner, an individual attains piety. Number two, happily detaching yourself from the world. This means to consider the world inferior, and because of this, to do away with one's desires, for example, to happily take one gold coin instead of two. This is not difficult for somebody with this trait. Yet, such a person's attention also constantly remains on the world and his nafs, as he thinks he has forsaken something significant. Although this is also piety and zuhud, it bears risk of loss. Number three, this is the greatest rank, in which a person readily takes on zuhud and extensively exerts effort in doing so. Here, the individual is not fazed in the slightest about having walked away from the world, for he knows it is insignificant and holds no importance when compared to the hereafter. The greatness of this rank is in becoming indifferent to everything to please your Lord. The driving force behind accomplishing this is yearning to behold Allah Almighty and understanding the renunciation of every other bounty. In addition to nikah, one should acquire food, clothing, and residence based on one's needs. This is true zuhud. How to acquire this? Zuhud entails avoiding anything that is futile, extra and unnecessary. There should only be sufficient energy and strength that will enable one to worship and obey Allah Almighty. Eating and drinking for the sake of it or merely for enjoyment is not our objective. Allah Almighty has power to keep you alive without apparent means, just as angels are alive without any materialistic means. Allah Almighty also has ability to keep you alive with that which you have, or by granting something which you cannot imagine. If you remain steadfastly pious, you will not need to rely upon striving for worldly gain to remain alive. If you have not reached this level of zuhud, then search for it with the intention of becoming righteous and preparing provision for the hereafter. Do not embark upon this journey to fulfill your desires or find pleasure, because this will be considered as an action performed for your hereafter if your intention is sound. This way, your zuhud will remain safe from negative effects. Number one, at times fearing hell and the punishment therein becomes a reason for zuhud. This is known as the zuhud of the khayfin. Number two, the delight of the hereafter and its blessings can lead to one taking zuhud on. This is the zuhud of the rajin, and it is greater than the first category. Number three, the third type is best, in which zuhud is attained by not focusing on anything other than Allah Almighty. And when the nafs leaves everything other than Him due to thinking of its insignificant, this is zuhud in its original essence. A state greater than zuhud, considering it to be of equal merit, whether you have wealth or not, this is a state even greater than zuhud. A person with this quality does not feel happy when attaining money, nor feel harmed, and his state is the same even when he does not receive anything. In fact, such a person's state becomes like that of Lady Aisha radiyallahu anha, when someone gifted her 100,000 dirhams, which she accepted and distributed the very same day. Her maid said, "Had you kept 1 dirham from the wealth you distributed today to purchase meat, we could have had that for iftar." Lady Aisha radiyallahu anha replied, "Had you reminded me, I would have done so." A person should be called mustaghni if he had the whole world in his possession, but it causes him no harm, because he thinks of wealth as a treasure from Allah Almighty, as opposed to it being in his possession. This person does not see any difference between the wealth being owned by him or someone else. He is not concerned about having or not having money. Perfection in zuhud. Giving equal value to wealth and water is a sublime level of zuhud in matters of wealth. For a great amount of water to be near a person does not harm him. as evident when looking at someone who lives along a shore. Similarly, a little amount of water is also not harmful so long as there is enough available to suffice one's needs. Water is indispensable to humans. Neither do we despise a lot of water, nor are we neglectful of it. Rather, we say that we will drink it according to our needs, give it to others to drink, and not be stingy in this regard. Wealth should also be seen in a similar light by people. Having it or not having it should not affect them. When a person gains cognizance, i.e. marifa, of Allah Almighty and is honored with entrusting his affair to him, i.e. tawakkul, he becomes certain he will receive sufficient sustenance for as long as he lives, just like he receives water. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.